Case is case number 20938. This is an application of Power Energy Corporation and or Intervention Energy LLC for an order prohibiting Murex Petroleum Corporation from imposing a risk penalty against Power for the drilling of the Lori Ann number 4-9H well, sections 4 and 9, 161 and 101, Writing Rock, Bakken Pool, Divide County. All interested parties, please come forward.
Lawrence Bender, P.O. Box 1855, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing in this matter on behalf of Powers Energy Corporation and Intervention Energy, LLC.
John Morrison, P.O. Box 2798, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing on behalf of Murex Petroleum Corporation.
All right, Mr. Bender.
Thank you. I have one witness, Jim Powers, who is ready to be sworn.
Mr. Powers, I'll have you raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth in this case?
I do.
Thank you.
Jim, would you state your name for the record, please?
James Powers.
And by whom are you employed in what capacity?
I'm a partner in Powers Energy Corporation in Williston, North Dakota.
And why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do in your capacity as a principal with Powers Energy?
Primarily, I would describe myself as a landman. I've been in the oil and gas business since high school, actually.
Good. And in preparation for today's hearing, were you involved in preparing a packet of exhibits?
Yes.
And you satisfied yourself as to the accuracy of that packet?
Yes.
Let's turn to the packet of exhibits, Jim. Let's turn first to what's been marked as Exhibit 1. And it's a multi-page document, so I obviously don't want you to describe in great detail what it is, but just generally tell me what Exhibit 1 is.
Exhibit 1 is a letter dated November 27th, 2012, addressed to Powers Energy Corporation from Murex, notifying us of their drilling and intention to drill, rather, the Lori Ann well that we're discussing today.
And did you receive a copy of that exhibit by mail?
We did, okay. Correct.
And the Exhibit 1 is a letter, and it also contains an oil and gas lease, is that correct?
And an AFE for the well, correct. Mm-hmm.
And then let's skip Exhibit 2, and let's go to Exhibit 3. And perhaps when you're describing Exhibit 3, you can tell me how Exhibit 3 fits in with Exhibit 1 in terms of possibly receiving something and responding. Just go through it in a little bit of an explanation.
Sure. Exhibit 3 is an email that I sent to Dave Elder with Murex. Dave was the signature party on the letter dated November 27th. In the letter, Murex offered three options for our interests, and one was to lease the mineral acres for terms of $500 a six and 3 years. One was to participate in the well, and the other one basically informed us if we elected not to lease or if we did not respond that we would be deemed to be a non-consent in the drilling of the well. I simply wrote Dave a letter and said, or an email, and I said that we had received their proposal and that because of some transactions that we had just completed, we weren't participating in any additional wells, working interest-wise, and that we would like to lease to Murex. And I proposed terms different than Dave had proposed to me, 20% and $750 an acre.
Okay. And did you get a response from Mr. Elder to your December 4, 2012 email?
No, I didn't, and that's brings us to Exhibit 4, wherein I asked Dave if he just wanted to confirm that he had received my email.
Okay, and did you get a response to your email dated December 11th, 2012?
I did. Dave apologized, quote him for his lack of response, and he said he would talk to Don or Waldo, referring to Don Kessler or Waldo Ackerman, about my email.
And that's Exhibit 5, is that correct?
Sorry, correct, Exhibit 5, right.
Okay, and did you, subsequent to Mr. Elder's email, send another email to Mr. Elder?
Right. I did not hear anything, so I think on the 13th of January, I don't think, but you'll see on Exhibit 6, I asked again, Dave, if we could get something done.
Okay. And did you receive a response to that email that you addressed to Mr. Elder?
No.
Okay. What did you do next?
Well, nothing. What I have is, if you go to Exhibit 7, is to the best of my knowledge, the next thing that happened is I got a division order, and the well was completed, and I didn't really pay any attention to it because it was 2.5 acres. And I asked Dave about the division order that implied that we were in penalty because of the 16% royalty rate.
So let's go back just for a moment to Exhibit 2. Is Exhibit 2 the division order that you're referencing in your May 22nd, 2013 email?
Yes.
So if I understand, then what happened is you sent an email to Mr. Elder on December 11th. Mr. Elder responded on December 11th saying that he would talk to Mr. Ackerman and what's Don's last name? Don, Mr. Kestel?
Kestel.
Is that correct? And then he would get back to you. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, that's the best of my recollection. Okay. Correct.
And then you didn't hear anything until you received the division order, which was Exhibit 2. Is that correct?
To the best of my recollection, yes.
Okay. I mean, your records don't reflect that you received
my records anything. Reflect nothing different. Okay. No.
And your understanding of the division order that is included in this packet is Exhibit 2, treated Powers Energy as a non-consent party. Is that correct?
Correct.
And how can you tell that by looking at this particular division order?
If you do the math with the net acres and the gross acres, it turns out that the division order interest implies a 16%. Landowner's royalty.
Okay. What happened after that? I guess you were referring to Exhibit 7.
Right.
Was Exhibit 7 basically a response to the division order?
Yes.
Okay. And just summarize what's in the email.
I had wrote an email to Dave again, and I said I was following up on the interest, and I told him that we'd received the division order, explained to him that it would be my interpretation that we are under penalty for non-participation based upon the mathematics done that showed a 16% landowner's royalty, and I said that we did not wish to participate, as I had indicated earlier, and I said that the well had begun production in March and was now complete, and I suggested that I suggested new terms of 20% and a bonus of $5,000 to them, or $2,000 per acre at this time, since the well had been drilled and completed.
And did you get a response from Mr. Elder, relative to that email?
Not from Mr. Elder. What happened was, is I had copied Waldo Ackerman and Don Kessel on that, because I hadn't heard anything from them, and I've known both of those guys for some time. And the reply came from Mr. Kessel. It's Exhibit 8, and it said, never going to happen.
Go ahead.
So just to continue on, and then in Exhibit 9, I wasn't trying to pick a fight. I just wanted to get an oil and gas lease, and I appreciated the fact that they had drilled the well. But Don wrote back. He said, well, thanks for your response. But I said to him, thanks for your response, but that didn't solve the issue. We've simply been trying to lease the mineral interest, as you can see. And I said, perhaps folks who have known each other for a while could be a bit more cordial. And I asked him what never going to happen meant. And if you go to Exhibit 10, you'll see Mr. Kessel's response, where he said, Jim, sorry, I didn't mean to be rude. And then he informed me that they couldn't treat me any differently than any other mineral owner who is not willing to accept our terms or participate in the well. Doing so would violate all ethical principles that we try to adhere to. And then he encouraged me to come in front of the North Dakota Industrial Commission.
Okay. Now, before we go back, we'll go to the next email. I just want to get them straight in my own mind. You made a counteroffer to the well proposal and lease offer that was submitted to you in November of 2012, and you did that with an email dated December 4 of 2000.
Correct.
2012.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And the first response you received from your ex to your counteroffer was when?
I didn't ever receive a reply. David said that he was going to check with Don. And
isn't the email that you received from, let's see if I can find it, from Mr. Kessel, dated May 22nd?
Correct.
A response by saying it's never going to happen. Isn't that a rejection of your counteroffer?
Yes, I would. Yeah, it would be one way to interpret that, yes.
Okay, so approximately 5 months after you made your counteroffer, you received a rejection of that counteroffer.
Well, correct. I made an offer to lease to them the first time as well.
Okay.
Which
All right, let's go on to the next email. I think we're now on exhibit, is it 9 or 10? I lost exhibit 10.
Probably 11.
What happened next?
Well, as I looked through my email chain, as I said, Don, on exhibit 10, Don had apologized to me and said that he couldn't give us any terms that were different. It would violate his ethical principles. Then I responded, I think if you look back at exhibit 11, I said, thanks, we don't want to protest the well, Don. Glad you drilled it and happy it seems to be a good well. We sold our working interest last year and decided to stop participating in wells for now. As you saw in the email, we've been trying to get a lease but never heard back. We got a division order, so it brought the matter back to our attention. I think we proposed a 20% landowner's royalty and $750 an acre back in December. Never got a response. If you'd like us to find another party for the lease, just let us know. I think 20% landowner royalty is fair. The $2,000 just came out of looking at state sales results. I'm not hung up on it, but it doesn't seem unreasonable given the well is drilled.
So at that point in time, and all through this dialogue with emails going back and forth, you were attempting to negotiate an oil and gas lease. Is that a fair statement?
Correct. I was looking for an answer. Right.
Okay. Let's. What happened next, then? Let's go to Exhibit 12, and perhaps you can tell me how that relates to this entire matter.
Well, that last couple of emails, as you can see, were just correspondence between Kessel and myself, and this came from Dave Elder, Exhibit 12, and it just told me, it says, as you indicated in your email, referring to Mr. Powers, as you indicated in your email, you elected not to lease on terms offered by Murex, letter dated November 27th, or to participate in the well. You're now, you are non-consent. Thank you for your offer to lease on revised terms. Based on the results of the well, we must decline your offer. If you'd like to sell your interest, that might be different or whatever. As you can see, that's his response to me.
And at that point in time, did you feel like you had been given a good faith offer to lease?
Well, yeah, they gave me a good faith offer, I guess, but what I was asking from them was just a simple response. I said, you know, fellas, I'd like to talk to you about terms. They never once, besides not responding to me timely, they never once said, this is our only offer, our best offer, or our final offer. And had they done that, then I would have been able to go out into the marketplace and ask for an oil and gas lease or see if there was anybody else interested in leasing it for terms different, which I eventually did. And got better terms. So that's all I was looking for was a response. I wasn't looking for a wait and hold game, which is what I considered they did to me.
And you really never got any kind of response with respect to what you proposed as a counteroffer until 4 or 5 months later.
I got no, right, yeah.
Okay. Let's go on to the next exhibit then and tell us what happened next.
Well, exhibit 13, I just wrote back to Mr. Elder and I said, sorry to see your response. I will see you at the commission. And then if you look at number 14, Dave responded to me, Mr. Powers, okay, I'm not sure why we would see you at the commission. And exhibit 15 kind of doesn't finish our communication. There's one more letter, one more email, but Dave wrote back to me. I said to him, excuse me, the commission simply because you cannot put us into penalty. This was your choice when you failed to respond to us.
Okay, and then exhibit 16.
Exhibit 16, I gave notice in July 9th to Mr. Elder and the folks at Murex that I had granted an oil and gas lease in favor of Intervention Energy and was giving it notice to them at that time.
Okay. And Exhibit 17, I understand, is nothing more than the emails you've already discussed, but they're in a chain form, and it was just a little easier to discuss than the
right.
way we did.
Right. I just kept them all, threw them into my Outlook, and printed them out for you. Right.
Now, my understanding from some of the exhibits that you've already discussed, we're talking about how many acres here?
2.5.
And 2.5 acres doesn't seem like a lot of acreage to be squabbling about. Can you explain for the commission why you're here when we're only talking about 2.5 acres?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I'm sorry that this has to come in front of the commission, but I'm glad that it did because I'd like to make a point. I think it's an important point, and it's certainly not about me. It's not about the discussion or the dialogue that went on between Mr. Kessel or Mr. Elder or me, although I think it would be fascinating reading in a business class or an ethics class. And it's not about the 2.5 acres. I mean, you can imagine the time and the cost associated with coming up here for the hearing. So it's not about that. It's to make a point. And while the final arbiter of this matter is certainly the commission, and I respect that and appreciate your time, I think in addition to really poor business judgment on Murex's part, I think they violated the rules and regulations that you oversee. And I guess I asked myself, in a cordial dialogue with a fellow person in industry, when I get treated like that, what are they treating other people like? And there are people that don't know they have other options to in the oil and gas world. They present three options in the letter, one of which is clearly not mentioned, and that's that if I don't want to lease to them, I can certainly go out and talk to somebody else about leasing. But they make the letter sound like this is it, take it or leave it, and then they don't respond. So those are the kinds of things that lead to legislation people that are mineral owners feel like taken advantage of, and I just don't think it's right. So I'm here to make a point, and I appreciate the consideration by the commission for hearing this.
I don't have any other questions, Madam Examiner. We'd offer, I guess it's Exhibits 1 through 17.
Any objection to the exhibits?
No objection.
Do you have any questions, Mr. Morrison?
Yep. Mr. Powers, do you retain all of your emails that you receive?
To best of my knowledge, I do, John, yes.
Do you delete emails on occasion?
Well, if I'm more than willing to look at something if I deleted it.
Did you search for emails from Murex
in
this time period?
Yeah.
And you think you've provided everything you received?
I would not come here and misrepresent intentionally anything like that.
What are the terms of your lease with Intervention Energy?
20% landowner's royalty. I think it was $750 in a year lease. Your offer was 3 years, 5 and 6.
Is Intervention paying you royalty now?
No. Well, Intervention hasn't been acknowledged in the title as far as I know.
Well, Intervention, you have a lease with Intervention, right?
Correct.
And Intervention has agreed to pay you a 20% royalty, right?
Correct.
And you haven't tried to collect the difference between what you're being paid by Murex as an unleased owner under their terms and the lease from Intervention?
No.
Do you have any side letter agreements with Intervention?
No.
You furnished a copy of the Intervention lease to Murex. It's a one- or two-page lease. Is that correct?
I believe so, yeah.
And there's no side letter agreement or anything
No.
else? Any other terms that are incorporated into the face of the lease?
No. I'm not sure what the question is inferring. John, the Intervention owns an interest in the well already, to the best of my knowledge, and that's one of the reasons they were interested in taking the lease.
Did you solicit an offer from Intervention, or did they approach you?
I solicited an offer.
Did you solicit an offer from anybody else?
No, because I got one from Intervention that was satisfactory.
Did you have a prior relationship of any kind with Intervention or any of its principals?
Sure. That's why I called them.
You've leased them before?
We've done business before, yes.
Are you partners with them?
Nope.
What kind of business activities have you done with them before?
Bought leases together, traded minerals, stuff like that.
So you bought leases together?
We've purchased, I think, leases together and some minerals together, yes.
And I just want to confirm, you said that you thought that Murex gave you a good faith offer to lease. Is that correct?
They gave me an offer, and I tried to discuss negotiating different terms with them. Correct.
And
I don't think the point is whether it was a good faith offer or not. It was the point I'm trying to make, John, is that I never received responses, appropriate responses or timely responses.
Do you agree that the terms that you were offered by Murex are generally consistent with those customary North Dakota oil and gas leases?
You mean, basically, yeah, if you're talking about the terms that people see out in the offering, yeah.
And you see people taking leases with a 1/6 royalty, 3-year term, maybe $500 bonus. That happens every day, right?
Well, it happens, yes.
I don't have further questions.
Are there any questions from the staff?
Jim, what's the relationship between Intervention? Not really the relationship, but how do they stand on it? I mean, they're not getting paid anything, right?
Oh, I'm waiting for, I guess, basically for this hearing, you know. I think if Dave had or Kessel had have called me up and said, Jim, you know, we we really can't give you any other offer. I might have leased to them. I mean, 2.5 acres of 6, 3/16, 20%. I mean, I'm making a point. And the point is that I don't like being treated like I was treated. I'm waiting. John Zimmerman, whose intervention I suspect is waiting for this, the outcome of this, because it's my understanding that I'm not recognized or I'm in penalty, and I'm assuming then that Murex would not. Dave could answer that question, but I'm assuming Murex doesn't recognize intervention's lease. I didn't hear back from Murex when I sent them intervention's lease, so I couldn't tell you what they're thinking.
Is intervention interested in just returning the money back to you and having you go as a non-consent?
No, I'm not really understanding. Maybe John can explain the line of questioning for me. John's a great friend, and I asked him, I said, you have an interest in the well. Would you like additional interest in the well? And he said, yes. And I said, would you lease it for 20% and $750 or something like that? And he said, sure. That was pretty simple. He's a working interest owner in the well.
Okay, but my question was,
sorry,
would you be happy with just, you know, getting your money back and then going non-consent in the well?
No, I don't want to participate, and I don't want to be non-consent. Okay. I don't like when people do that, frankly, and I wasn't trying to do that. I respect the fact that Murex put the time and effort and money into drilling the well, and I was glad to be part of it. But I didn't want to participate. I wanted to lease, and I think that was made, you know, Claire Bruce in my correspondence to Dave. Okay.
Well, we're just trying to find all the facts and then decide everything later, so I'm just trying to ask a bunch of questions.
Please.
As far as the well, do you believe it's going to pay out? Have you done any analysis on it?
No.
Okay. So you don't know whether or not it's going to be an economic well or if you would be better off leasing versus going non-consent?
Not the point of being here, no.
Okay. Thank you. Have you dealt with Murex in the past and, you know, on any of your interests when you were leasing?
I suspect some. I honestly don't know. Maybe Dave could tell you. I don't remember if we've leased with them before or maybe we've participated in some of the wells together. I don't know. We have not done a lot of business. I've spent time with Don Kessel and Waldo Ackerman and North Dakota Petroleum Council functions and other places.
Okay, so you don't know if they've
been we haven't done a great deal
negotiate or anything in the past. You don't know if they've been willing to negotiate on leases in the past, then?
I don't. And as I said, you know, if I had had a phone call that just said, or an email back, said, Jim, that's our last and final offer, you know, or something like that, then I would have understood that that was the case. And if there was one and I deleted it, I'd like to see it.
Okay. Thank you.
Jim, I don't see anything in here reflecting when you received the offer and when the 30 days started to run and how that ties into the the timeline of the emails. Is that something you can recall?
Yeah, actually, well, because I wouldn't normally be able to recall it, but I had to look it up. The letter, I think, was dated the 27th of November, and I think the registered receipt was dated December 3rd, and thus the email, I think, was December 4th, subsequent follow-up email December 11th, and then one in January, whatever that was, 11th or 14th.
And then I just want to confirm, everything went quiet for January 13th through May 22nd.
Yeah, frankly, I don't see any other emails in my inbox, and I don't have the habit of deleting them, so I'm...
Any further questions, Mr. Brenner?
Just a couple follow-up questions. Jim, Mr. Morrison was asking you some questions about, you know, standard lease and 1/6 royalty and $500 an acre. And I know you've talked about this, but I'd like you to just reiterate or make it clear to us. Is the reason you're here today that you objected to the offer, the 1/6 royalty and the $500 an acre, or is it something else?
Well, I had, you know, proposed different terms. We've leased most of a lot of our acres. We've leased it at 3/16 or 20%, and I just, you know, business being business, I proposed that they give us different terms.
And what happened when you proposed something different than the 1/6 and the $500 an acre?
Well, they drilled the well and put me into penalty.
Okay. You didn't hear anything back to them from them for 5 months?
No. Every email that I had and every recollection that I have is I presented here.
Okay. That's all the questions I have.
Anything further?
Nothing further.
Mr. Morrison?
Yeah, we'd like to call one witness, and that's Dave Elder.
Mr. Elder, I'll have you raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth in this case?
I do.
Thank you.
Dave, would you state your name for the record and tell us where you reside?
My name is Dave Elder. I'm a land manager. I work for Murex Petroleum, and I reside in Houston, Texas.
And have you previously testified for the commission as an expert witness?
Yes.
And are you familiar with the sequence of events that's under discussion today relating to the attempts to obtain a lease or participation from Powers?
Yes.
I'm going to show you what we've marked as Exhibit 4. And our exhibits are not numbered sequentially because we really didn't know. Most of them have been included in the packet that you can maybe take one and just pass them around. It'll save me a trip around.
Sure.
So this is Murex's Exhibit 4. Dave, can you tell me what Exhibit 4 is?
It's an email chain that between Mr. Powers and myself.
And the email on top, which, as I'm understanding correctly, would be the most recent email, is that correct, in this chain?
In this chain, yes.
That's a January 14, 2013 email, is that correct?
Correct.
And what did you tell Mr. Powers in that January 14th email?
It says, I was waiting for the results of the well in the area, and I'm sorry, but the $500 and 1/6 is the top offer.
Now, you don't have any personal knowledge as to whether or not Mr. Powers received that email, is that correct?
No.
But it is in your email, and you sent the email?
Yes, sir.
And your assumption is it was received?
Yes, sir.
And did you have any discussions with Mr. Powers then until later in 2013?
No, sir.
Next, I'm going to show you what we marked as Murex's Exhibit 3. So if you can tell me what that is.
Exhibit 3 is an oil and gas lease signed by Powers Energy between and with Intervention.
And that's if there's an email attached to it, which is an email from Jim to you enclosing a copy of the lease, is that correct?
Correct.
And Dave, you're familiar with the offer to lease that's included in Powers Exhibits as Exhibit Number 1, is that correct?
Correct.
And you sent out the package that's marked as Exhibit 1?
Yes, sir.
In your opinion, did you make a good faith effort to obtain an oil and gas lease from Powers Energy in that lease?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did you send out other offers to lease or participate in this well at the same time that you sent this to Powers Energy?
Yes, sir. We sent approximately 22 proposals out to other unleased mineral owners, and of those 22, five accepted our offer to lease, and two elected to participate.
Were the offers that you sent to the other owners all identical to what was sent to Powers?
Yes, sir.
And you said five accepted the offer to lease, two accepted, or two agreed to participate?
Correct.
The rest are all being carried in a non-consent position?
Yes, sir.
Are you also familiar with the terms of the various leases you do own within the spacing unit under discussion today?
Yes, sir.
What's the average royalty rate of the Murex leases in that spacing unit?
17.25%.
And do you know what the average is in the spacing unit itself?
17.13%.
Now, at the time you were making this offer, was there production in the immediate vicinity of Sections 4 and 9, Township 161 North, Range 101 West?
No, sir.
So So is this considered to be a wildcat well by Murex?
Yes, sir.
And were the terms that you were offering influenced by the fact that you consider this to be a wildcat area?
Yes, sir.
I don't have any further questions. This time we would offer Murex's Exhibits 3 and 4.
Any objection to the exhibits?
No objection to the exhibits.
Do you have any questions, Mr.
Yeah,
Bennett?
I do.
I do.
Dave, would you take a look at your Exhibit 4? And it's my understanding that you're representing to the commission that the top paragraph and language where it says, from C. Dave Elder, sent Monday, January 14th, 2013, 8:45 a.m. to Jim Powers, subject, re-oil and gas lease, is an email that you sent to Jim. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, let's go down a little bit further. There's another email from you to Jim Powers. It's dated December 11th, 2013. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
Now, at the top of that email, it says original message, and there's dashes before the original message and dashes after the original message. And when it says from C. David Elder, there's a bracket and it says mail to delder@murexpetroleum.com. Mm-hmm. Can you explain to us why that email message is different than what appears at the top of the page?
No, sir.
How did you copy or how did you prepare Exhibit 4? Are you saying that this is an email chain, but for some reason the email chain printed differently for the January 14th email than it did for all the other emails you sent?
Yes, sir.
And you have no idea why?
No, sir.
You have no idea why the from, the sent, the to, the subject is bold on the email we can't find, but all the other emails you presumably sent that we've received are different?
No, sir. It's blank. I have to look at it. I didn't even notice it.
Is this the last email that you that is on your system that you sent to Mr. Powers?
In that chain.
Okay. Are there any other emails that you have that are part of Exhibit 4 that printed out like... the one on the top of Exhibit 4?
Yes, sir.
Where are they?
The one where I asked Mr. Powers, okay, I'm not sure why.
What's the date of it so that I can follow?
I'm sorry, May 23rd, Thursday, May 23rd.
And where is that on Exhibit 4?
Mm-hmm. It's not in Exhibit 4.
Okay.
But it's another email he has in his file.
Okay. Let's go to Exhibit 1, Mr. Elder. If you go to the second full paragraph in Exhibit 1, third sentence, I don't know if you're there, it says, quote, if you choose to lease, comma, please contact the undersigned and Murex will forward an oil and gas lease for execution. So when you wrote this letter, had you included an oil and gas lease?
Yes, sir.
Why do you have the language then that... If they want to sign the lease, they should contact you to get one.
It's a form that we use, and it's just...
So it's an error? It's a mistake? Okay. And how many days did Powers Energy have to make a decision as to whether they wanted to lease to Murex or not?
30 days.
And can you tell me where in Exhibit 1... it says that Powers has 30 days to make a determination to lease.
Last paragraph of page 1.
Last paragraph of page 1. Can you read the language?
Please respond within 30 days of receipt of this invitation to participate. Should you choose not to participate or do not respond within 30 days, participation owners may owners plan to impose owners plan to impose a risk penalty as authorized under the North Dakota Century Code, Section 380808.
The way you've read that sentence, that sounds to me like that's a requirement that they have to elect to participate within 30 days. You're saying that's a requirement that they have to lease to you or sign the lease in 30 days?
Yeah.
And what language in there even references oil and gas lease?
It doesn't.
Okay.
But I read it such that participating through an oil and gas lease and as a working interest owner.
Does an owner of a mineral interest who executes an oil and gas lease participate?
Yeah.
Participate in the well?
Well, they're either their consent or they participate through their lease.
Okay. Now, on the second page, your option number 3 says if you elect not to lease or participate in the well, or if you do not respond, you will be deemed to be non-consent in the drilling of the well. Does that provide any time period in which Mr. Powers had an opportunity to lease?
Can you repeat that again?
Just the last paragraph in page 2. Does that set forth any time frame in which Mr. Powers had an opportunity to lease?
Well, in fact, the language of the document speaks for itself.
I'll let him answer.
No, sorry. I was reading.
Oh. You want me to repeat the question?
Yeah.
Does paragraph 3 on page 2 indicate how much time Mr. Powers had to execute a lease?
No.
Is it a fair statement that the letter is at least somewhat confusing with respect to how much time Mr. Powers had to lease and how much time he had to participate?
No, not to me.
And you drafted the letter?
No, sir.
Okay. Who drafted the letter?
This is a form that was in... has been reviewed by counsel.
Mr. Morrison?
I'm not sure it was there before me. Okay.
Did you read it before you signed it?
Yes. Okay.
But you didn't read it closely enough to realize it said that you had to request an oil and gas lease if you wanted to lease, and there was an oil and gas lease attached.
No, sir.
Let's go back just a moment. How many people did you say you sent out well proposals to?
22.
And how many people participated?
5.
And how many people leased?
I'm sorry. It's 2 participated, 5 leased.
Okay. So now you're drawing a distinction between leasing and participating. Is that right?
Yeah, I was okay.
So 5 leased and 5 participated, and the other 12 went non-consent. Do you know of any of the others that went non-consent leased to anyone else?
Not that I'm aware of.
Have you recognized the intervention lease that Mr. Powers executed in favor of intervention?
Yeah.
Okay. And how have you recognized it? Are you sending them jibs?
No.
Okay. What are your plans with respect to recognizing the lease? Are you going to, you just tell me what your plans are.
At subsequent wells, we would send that acreage be proposed to intervention and not to Mr. Powers.
Have you contacted intervention and informed them that their interest is subject to a risk penalty?
No, sir.
Do you think that's appropriate?
At some point, they know that it is subject to it. So
How do you know they know?
Well, they're a party to this thing.
Did you know before that?
No, sir.
Okay. And you didn't think it was appropriate when you received a copy of the lease to inform them that... you were taking the position that it was subject to a risk penalty?
No, sir. Okay.
Could I?
No, just no. I have to ask some questions. What do you need? Just a second.
When you print off the chain, the top one doesn't print the same as the other ones. You can see that all the way.
I don't have any other questions.
Any questions from the staff?
I may wish to recall, Jim, if we can just have
sure.
a second to
sure.
talk.
Any follow-up, Mr. Morrison?
Yeah. Dave, Mr. Bender pointed out that the top entry on the email chain looks different than the other entries. Do you have other emails in your file where similarly the top entry in the chain that gets printed out looks different?
Yes.
And can you give me the one you have? Why don't you take it out of your folder? This one right here, right? Mm-hmm. Show you what we marked as Murex Exhibit 5. Can you tell me what that is?
That's another, it's the email chain that, part of the email chain that, where I responded to Mr. Powers that, okay, I'm not sure why we would see you at the commission, Dave. And the following emails were mentioned. Mr. Powers mentioned these emails. So,
and in fact, the email at the top of your Murex Exhibit 5 is the same email that's marked as Powers Exhibit 14. Is that correct?
Correct.
So there's no question you sent this email, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the format looks exactly the same as Mr. Bender was questioning with respect to Exhibit 3. Is that correct?
Correct.
You would offer Exhibit 5.
Any objection?
No objection.
And in fact, when you look at...
It's just another email.
When you look at Powers Exhibit 17, doesn't the from Jim Powers at the top of Exhibit 17 look different than all the other froms in the whole chain?
Yes, sir.
Now, do you think Mr. Powers manufactured Exhibit 17?
No.
And, in fact, Exhibit 4 is a copy of an email that is in your system. Is that correct?
Correct.
And did Mr. Powers ever indicate any confusion to you about what his options were under the offer that you sent in December?
No, sir.
Did any of the other unleased mineral owners who received the letter indicate any confusion as to what their options were?
No, sir.
Including those that leased or agreed to participate in the risk and cost of drilling the well. Is that correct?
Correct.
I don't have further questions.
Any other rebuttal questions, Mr. Bender?
I have some additional cross.
Yep, go ahead.
Let me direct your attention again to the well proposal, which is Exhibit 1. Is it your position that Powers Energy Corporation had 30 days from the date of this, the receipt of this well proposal to elect to lease?
Yes.
Okay. And even though Mr. Powers contacted you on December 4th, your Exhibit 4 indicates that you did not get back to him and tell him that your final offer was 500 and a sixth until January 14th of 2013. Is that correct?
Correct.
So at that point in time, based on your interpretation of your well proposal, it was too late for Mr. Powers to elect.
Yes.
Okay. No further questions.
Mr. Morrison, anything further?
Nothing further this time.
Mr. Bender, did you want to recall?
Just a moment.
Yeah.
Not today, not right this second.
Bethany would make a run.
just very quickly,
sure,
Madam Examiner. Jim, I'm going to direct your attention to Murek's Exhibit 4. Have you seen that exhibit?
Yep.
And prior to today, have you ever seen the first email that appears on Exhibit 4?
No, I don't recall ever seeing that, and I would never. I'm not suggesting that it wasn't sent at all, and I apologize, and I hope the commission would know that I would never come here and lie or misrepresent anything. But I'd like to point out, Dave, as you look at me, I'd like to point out that we had a pretty good dialogue going back and forth. I prodded you several times. Did you get my email? Did you get my email? Well, in this chain, when I wrote you back in May, after not having heard anything, or at least my records and my recollection, having heard anything, you didn't come back and say, hey, Jim, I told you, and that was our best or final offer. It was just, boom, you're in penalty. So, you know, you've already gone past the 30-day period, but I was in a dialogue with you, and then all of a sudden I wasn't in a dialogue with you. I guess that's my point.
Okay. No further questions.
Mr. Morrison, any questions?
No further questions.
Staff questions.
Dave, I've got a question. Have you had a situation where an individual leased to someone else during the 30-day period that the invitation was running?
Yes, sir.
And how did you deal with that? Did you send out a new invitation to that party, or how do you typically
normally
deal with that?
The party forwards that to the person they leased to.
Okay.
That person, if that person doesn't get it, they'll contact us and ask, can you send us the package?
All right. So normally if they lease to another individual during the 30 days, they notify you of that fact.
Correct.
And then you typically send that party a package, or you wait for them to ask for one?
We wait for them to ask.
Wait for them to ask.
We assume that they give it to that party when they're in their negotiations.
Thanks.
Anything further from either party?
Nothing further.
I do have, a very short closing argument, if you will. I mean, we've had a lot of argument today, but there seems to be a misunderstanding about what the obligations are of an operator of a well. It's, I think Mr. Powers assumes to some degree that the operator has a duty to engage in good faith negotiations to obtain a lease, and that's not what the commission rules say. The commission very intentionally chose an objective test. In other words, the commission chose not to put itself in the middle of a lease negotiation to determine whether or not parties are negotiating in good faith, because that's a very subjective test and becomes very difficult to administer. So what the commission did was say that you have to make a good faith effort to lease. Now, in order number 10,257, and this was in fact a dispute involving Murex and Headington, and some circumstances very similar to what we have today, the commission addressed all this. And the commission said, Murex satisfied its invitation to lease duties, an offer to lease on terms generally consistent with those customary in North Dakota constitutes a good faith effort to lease, period. There's no need to negotiate after that point, but what the operator has to do is make sure that the offer that goes out is a good faith offer that is consistent with those terms customary in North Dakota. And if it's not a sufficient offer, then you haven't met your obligation, and then you're not entitled to the penalty. But the commission has never wanted to insert itself into subjectively weighing negotiation efforts, and that's why you have an objective black and white test, and the commission has always administered that test in a very objective manner, and you're required to do something, and within 30 days a response is required. If, in fact, you had to negotiate, does that mean that once you increase your offer in response to a request for negotiation, now does the clock start running all over again, and now the unleased mineral owner has another 30 days to respond from that? Or what happens if you respond to an offer for increased terms on the 29th day? And then is it fair if he only has one day to respond to the amended offer? Those are the things the commission intentionally chose not to get involved in and just said, no, we're going to weigh the offer that goes out. We're going to look at that offer. Is it a good faith effort? And if it is a good faith effort, you met your burden and you're entitled to the penalty. Mr. Powers admitted and Mr. Elder testified that this was consistent with those terms customary in North Dakota, that it's a good faith effort. And so there really is no dispute. There obviously was a misunderstanding between the parties, and we apologize. We're not suggesting that Mr. Powers deleted the email or fabricated anything, and we are a little offended that there was some suggestion that maybe Mr. Elder fabricated an exhibit, because that simply didn't happen. Whether the email got lost in traffic someplace or whether it got deleted on a system accidentally, we don't know. What we do know is that Murek's records show that it went. Powers' records apparently show that it's not there now. It doesn't really matter, again, if you apply the objective standard that the commission incorporated in its rules, and that is, did you send a good faith effort? And if you did send a good faith effort, that's all you need, and then you have the 30 days to respond. So we think that clearly Murex is entitled to the penalty in this case, and an order should be entered accordingly.
Mr. Bender, any closing
I think Mr.
argument?
Morrison has totally misconstrued the actions of this commission in the Murex Brigham case. The issue there was a situation where one of the parties happened to be a what I refer to as a pro and was insisting on 20%. The evidence submitted by Murex demonstrated that all the other parties leased for a sixth or 20% or whatever it was, and the pro was asking for 25%. And the commission in that particular situation said a pro is not entitled to anything more than that. There were also some issues in that particular case having to do with Murex sending out oil and gas leases to dead people, and the commission took the position that that wasn't a good faith effort to lease. Beyond that, I don't think the commission has to look very hard at its previous orders to realize that it does take into consideration some of the subjective issues that go on in oil and gas leasing. One of the issues that comes to mind right now was a Mr. Tank came to the Industrial Commission and said that Continental Resources was not entitled to a risk penalty because they didn't make a good faith attempt to lease. And the only problem with the only issue in there was the Continental, in its well proposal and lease efforts, made a mistake, a typographical mistake in the draft, in the documents that accompanied the draft. But the check was drafted correctly, and the draft itself was drafted correctly. So I think it's a far stretch for Mr. Morrison to argue and Murex to take the position that the commission doesn't look into some of the subjective issues as to what constitutes good faith in of trying to obtain an oil and gas lease. And in this case, they sent a very confusing well proposal letter. It's not clear whether Mr. Powers had 30 days to elect to participate or whether he also had 30 days to elect to lease. He sent an email on December 4th, and Murex conveniently waited until January after the 30 days passed and then sent an email that Mr. Powers didn't receive. And then after that, never acted like the email was sent, just kept on going back and forth and saying, well, I got to talk to Mr. Kessel, I have to talk to Waldo Ackerman. So I really believe that the commission has to look at this from the standpoint of what happened, and I think if the commission does, it will determine that there was no good faith attempt to lease and the penalty should not be imposed.
All right. Thank you. That'll conclude our hearing for today.
Thank you.
Thank you.